Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online podcast. At GVC, our mission is simple. We are loving God, loving people, and loving life. I know this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure you stay to the end to hear about how you can connect with us. Are you ready to get into it? Here we go.
Strong, praise God. Well, we have been in this series simply called Living 24 in 24. What have we been saying? We've been saying that we've been purposing to live and pursue God all day long through the year of 2024, and it is not an impossible thing. It is not a difficult thing to be aware of God. Amen? You know, I remember there was an old song back years, I don't even know how long ago it was, but it was a song that says, all day long, I've been with Jesus. All day long, my lips have uttered praise. All day long, my heart, my soul's been lifted in worship. All day long, I have been with him. And so again, the song goes, it says, I have been with Jesus. All day long, I have been with him. And again, I think we think that's so difficult. But let me ask you, if you've ever been in a position, maybe you were getting ready to buy a new car and you had to work during the day. Maybe it was you're going to close on a new house. Again, imagine something that you're extremely excited about, but you had to work in the first part of the day. Now, do you think for a moment that while you're at work that you never gave thought to the purchase of the new house at the end of the day? No. In fact, all day long, you're thinking about, man, I can't wait to get out of work. Ooh, can't wait because we're going and we're getting the new house. We're signing on the dotted line. Oh, praise the Lord. And you'd be thinking about it all the time because of what you were getting ready to possess, right? So if natural things are easy to consume our thinking and our attentions and our affections, how much more is God able to capture our affections and our attentions? It's just a matter of being able to put our affections and intentions or our focus on him. Amen? That's what our time of prayer and fasting has been all about, is putting our affections and our attentions on him. And as we do, how many of you know it causes you to just fall more in love with him? Amen? You know, you think about marriages for that matter, you know, that have been strained or been struggling, and people will say this, they'll say, well, I just fell out of love. No, you didn't fall out of love. You just chose to stop loving, right? Because love is not an action or a feeling, rather. It is a choice of action. Let me say it clearer. Love is not an emotion or a feeling. It is an action or a choice of something that you do, right? Brother Hagin always used to say this. He says, you know, just love them because you do, right? Remember the first day that you got married and how googly-eyed you were? And you're like, oh, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with them, right? Well, so in other words, you can cause yourself or stir yourself or act yourself in a position of where you'll choose to love that person the way that you want to, right? You out there, you're going home, right? So in other words, I can choose the way that I feel about that individual. I can choose what kind of relationship I want with God if I'll purpose just to turn my affections and my attentions towards him, right? Notice what it says here over in Matthew chapter 14 real quick. Again, you can turn there if you want to. This won't be up on the screen, but in Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, John the Baptist, how many of you know who John the Baptist was? Wave at me if you've ever heard anything about him. John the Baptist was the one that was preparing the way for Jesus, right? And the scripture tells us that he had disciples. So in other words, he was constantly mentoring and teaching disciples and saying, there is one that we are pursuing. There is one that we are longing to see. We are waiting for his arrival. And once again, that was their whole mission and their whole desire, that John was preparing the way for Jesus to come. But then one day Jesus was ministering and John's disciples came to Jesus and they said to Jesus, now I'm paraphrasing here, but they say to the John's disciples says to Jesus, they said, you know, the custom is that we fast, but we don't see your disciples fasting. Why don't they fast? And as I said, paraphrasing, Jesus said this. He says, why would they have to? I'm here. Why would they have to? I'm with them all the time. What does fasting do? Fasting creates a longing and a hunger for something. And he was saying to them, in fact, he goes on to say later on, he says, there's going to be a time that I'm not here. And when I'm not here, they can go back to fasting. But right now, I'm with them. The thing that they've been longing for, the things that they've been hungry for, I'm with them right now. So why would they need to fast? Right? So once again, there's something about Jesus that will fulfill a hunger and a desire. And there's something on the inside of us that is longing to be with him. You can live a life being conscious of him, being aware of his presence, being aware of his love and his mercies. You can be aware of him. Amen. I want to bring your attention to Matthew chapter 11. And we've made mention of this for the last 2 weeks, and I've had every intent to move on, but I just keep being drawn back to this particular scripture. But notice what it says here in verse 29. It says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart. And you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, and good. It's not harsh, it's not hard, not sharp or pressing, but it's comfortable and gracious and pleasant. And my burden is light and it's easy to bear. Notice he says, take my yoke upon you. As I was looking at that scripture, I kept being drawn to that word take. And so I looked it up into the Greek to find out what that word take means. Because he says, take my yoke upon you. Here's what the word take means. It means to take away from another what has or what is his or what is committed to him. And lastly is it's to take by force. So in other words, Jesus says, there's something that is of mine. He says, you take what has been committed to me. You take it for you. And then he even goes on to say, to take it by force. Now, is Jesus saying, come and just rip it off of me? No, the main reason why you're going to have to take it by force is because the enemy is going to try to get between you and him and keep you from having it. Amen. How many of you have ever just had to go tooth and toenail with the devil to say, no, I'm choosing to believe. I'm choosing to receive. And I don't care if it's hell or high water. I'm getting what God said is mine. Amen. You'll have to take it by force. You'll have to take what was committed to him. But he says there's something about this yoke. There's something significant upon this yoke that is upon me. Something that you want to take from me. Well, what is significant about the yoke? This thing that is upon him. Look at what it says over in Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 18... I'll read it from the Amplified, and it says it this way. Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking concerning him. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is, and what's those next words? Upon me. What did he say was on him? He said, take my yoke. There's a yoke on me. And he says in this verse, he says, now the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, this yoke that is upon me, because he has what? He's anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to do something. What am I here to do? What's this yoke to do? What is this anointing to do? It is to preach the good news of the gospel to the poor. Come on, how many of you know that if you're poor, then the good news is that you don't have to be poor no more? Amen. Well, there's a whole lot of types of poor. How many of you know you can be poor mentally and physically? You can be poor in your physical health. You can be poor in your money. You can be poor in all kinds of aspects of your life. And he says, I've got some good news for any poor that you might have. Amen. How many of you know that there are people that think, well, you know what? Sometimes there are those that have and some that don't have. Well, there are those people, but when it comes to the children of God, he never said that you had to be poor. And he says, if you were poor, he says, I've got some good news for you. Amen. He says, I've got a yoke that you can take. He says, I've got some stuff on me that if you want it, you can have it. And if you're poor, you don't have to be no more. Well, that was a good place to say amen. He said, he's also sent me to announce and release the captivity and recovery of sight to the blind. He set forth the delivery of those who are oppressed, those who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and the acceptable year of the Lord. But let's stop for a moment there. Notice that once again, let's go back up there. He says he's sent me to announce and release the captivity of sight to the blind, and deliver those that were oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed, broken, and full of calamity. Listen, you don't have to be downtrodden. You don't have to be beat up. If you find yourself being constantly depressed and oppressed and stressed and having all kinds of pressure on your life, he says, that's why I came, and there is a yoke upon me that I've told you to take. Give me yours and I'll give you mine. And therefore, you don't have to walk around having this monkey on your back no more. How many of you are tired of the monkey on your back? How many of you, you know who you are. You walk around with depression. Your mind is constantly clouded. It affects your health. It affects your sleeping. It affects your relationships. How many are tired of living life being oppressed and depressed? Then he says, I've got something you can put on. He said, now take it. And he says, now I'm not holding on to it and you got to wrestle me for it. He says, here you go. Just take it. Take it. Now the enemy's trying to get in between and said, oh, come on. Detroit Lions defense, man. He's like, whoa, come on. You ain't getting this. You ain't getting this. And you say, oh yeah, I'll take it by force. In fact, you know what? I'll just stomp you on the head. And the Bible says that you're going to be under, and you are underneath my feet. Amen. He says, take it. Verse 19. Then he says, to proclaim the accepted and the acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favor of God profusely abounds. Now you might say, well, what year is that? Well, how about 2024? Why wait another year? Why not just say, this is the year. This is the acceptable year. I'm going to live my best life, and it's only going to get better every year after. Because Jesus is coming. Praise God. How many of you are declaring and believing that this is my best year? Enough's enough. The old life is done away with. I'm tired of living that life. It's a new day. Amen. He says, I've got a yoke. He says, you can take it. He says, there's something that I've got. Amen. So notice what he says. He says, this that is upon me, this yoke that I want to give to you, he goes on to say that this yoke is the anointing. It's the anointing. Well, what's the anointing? Isaiah 10:27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulders, and his yoke from off your neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Did you see that there's an exchange of a yoke? He says, you've been walking around with oppression, depression, heaviness, and all kinds of strife and division and lack. You've been walking around thinking you got to be poor. Well, that's because you've been walking around with a yoke on your neck that doesn't belong to Jesus. It's time to exchange it for the yoke that is anointed. And it says that this yoke that's anointed, in this yoke has the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God on it. So go ahead and put it on. Amen. 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 Are you ready to exchange it? Amen. Jesus has been saying, here it is. It's been sitting right next to you all along. But he ain't going to put it on for you. You got to choose, right? It's available. The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. So once again, this yoke is the anointing, or carries the anointing of God. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. Everybody say all. What did you just say? Did you say all? Some. Yeah, I mean, you can check it up later. You can take my word for it. But it says he healed all that were oppressed of the devil. So once again, defining the fact that heaviness, lack, depression, the junk of life is nothing but the yoke of the enemy. But Jesus said, he's anointed me with the Holy Spirit and with power to do what? To remove the burden, to destroy the yoke, so that I can set those that are oppressed free, because it's come from the devil. How many of you are ready to be free this year? Amen. You say, well, I think I am free. Well, you can always walk into a greater degree of freedom. Amen. I said, you can always walk and live higher and better. So praise God. When was Jesus anointed? When was Jesus anointed? We said that he was anointed to destroy the yoke. So if it says that he was anointed, it means there must be a starting time. When did it happen? Well, do you remember when Jesus was with John the Baptist? And he was baptized. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Amen. I said the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, came upon him and anointed him. So in other words, there was a definitive time of the history of the church and the people of God, that at this time when Jesus was anointed, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, did he have the Holy Spirit with him? Did he have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Absolutely, because he was God and he was with God. But in this form of a man, the Bible says there was a defining moment when the Holy Spirit came upon him, when the yoke came upon him, when the anointing came upon him, when the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God came upon him. There was a defining line at that point in time that says, the old is done away with. We're entering into a new day, a new chapter in the people of God. And therefore, this anointing is available to those that will follow after me. Amen? This anointing is available. He had to give place to it and allow it to come upon him. Excuse me. And this bridged the gap between us and God. This changed everything. Now notice what Jesus says. Or what the scripture says rather. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 6. You doing all right? I know I've been preaching fast because I've been... Took a little time on the front side. Are you listening just as fast? Do I need to slow it down? All right. I've noticed that when I start preaching faster, I start spitting more. It's a good thing that the front row is a little bit more open there. First John chapter 2, verse 6. Notice what it says. Let's just take these first few words. He who says he abides in him, Jesus. He who says he abides in Jesus. How many of you abide in Jesus? How many of you definitively say, I'm a child of God and I abide in him? You know, in John's gospel says, if you abide in me, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll ask whatever you desire and my Father will do it for you. And then the scripture says here in 1 John, it says, he who says he abides. So for many of you, you just raised your hand and said, yes, I abide in Jesus. I'm declaring it. All right, notice what it goes on to say, continuing. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as Jesus walked. So what does that mean? That means that you ought to be walking around with something on you. Not the old yoke, the new yoke. A new yoke that has the anointing on it, that has the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. And therefore, whenever the devil comes to oppress you, this anointing can cause you to walk in a level of freedom and liberty because you're walking just as he walked. How many of you know Jesus had every opportunity to have a bad day? Amen. In fact, you know, I learned to say this because of one of my pastor, that's a mentor in our lives. Pastor Mark always used to say this. You know, people say, how you feeling? He said, I'm feeling like Jesus was feeling when he was overcoming this feeling. Amen. Did you catch that? I'm feeling like Jesus was feeling when he overcame this feeling, which means you're going to feel stuff. Jesus felt stuff, but he had to make a choice to overcome the feeling, right? So just because you walk as Jesus walked doesn't mean that you just walk around with no trouble. Oh, no, trouble's coming. The enemy's coming to attack. But you have an anointing. I said, you have an anointing. Why? Because you walk just as Jesus walks. And to further clarify that, in verse 20 of this same verse, it says, you have an anointing. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you have an anointing. You have an anointing. Why? Because you're a child of God. If you abide in him, he abides in you. You have an anointing that destroys the yoke and removes the burdens. Praise God. I mean, for you mom and dads, for you grandmas and grandpas that see your children and see your grandchildren going through the junk and the mud and the grub of life, and the devil is just wreaking havoc in their life, stand up and say, wait a minute, there is an anointing upon me, and I'm to make the demand right now, devil, in my house, we will serve the Lord. You will get your hands off of my children, off of my grandchildren. My livelihood, my lineage will be known for serving God. Exercise that anointing. Why? Because it's the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. If Jesus went about doing good and healing that were oppressed of the devil, then put it into operation. Amen. Well, I'm just a poor sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. I just heard a song driving home from Indiana yesterday. I'm an old sinner saved by grace. And it sounds all humble and good. But it is about the stupidest thing you could ever say. You might say, well, I thought we were sinners. Were is the key word. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you're in Christ, old things have passed away. When you were old, what were you? You were a sinner. If I'm in Christ, I'm not a sinner no more. I'm a saint, that's right. Not even just a saint, I'm a son. Praise God. So, therefore, I can change my attitude. Listen, I don't have to be beat up. I don't have to be discouraged. I'm not just an old sinner, grub worm saved by grace. No, I'm a child of God. I'm blood bought and blood washed. Praise God. Amen. When God sees me, he sees me just as he sees Jesus, because the scripture says, as he walks, walk just like him. As he is, so am I in the earth. Why? It's because of the anointing. It's because of what Jesus came to do. Come on, is this helping anybody? My pad is telling me shut up. It's time to quit. No, it's not. Got a couple more things here. Praise God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. It says, you have an anointing. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you have an anointing. But you have to put it on. Do you recall that Jesus, when he was ministering to his disciples, he said this. He says, you know the Holy Spirit, for he's with you and he will be in you. They didn't realize that they already knew the Holy Spirit. Well, how did they know the Holy Spirit? Because they knew Jesus. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit are just the same. So if you want to know the voice of the Spirit, know the voice of Jesus, right? And he says, he's been with you this whole time. He said, oh, but there's coming a time. Not only will he be with you, he will be in you. Or in other words, the yoke or the anointing is going to come on you. It's going to get on you. Amen. And they're like, whoa, this is awesome. This is good. But then he says something that I think probably blew their mind. He said this. He says, now, guys, This Holy Spirit that I'm talking about, he said, you need him. This anointing that I'm talking about, it will impact your life. Don't miss what I'm going to say. He says, it's to your advantage that I go away. I'm getting ready to leave. He says, and when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the anointing. I'm going to make a yoke available to you. And your life is going to be better for it. It's going to be to your advantage. Come on. Do you understand how this must have just messed with their thinking? To think, we've sat across from you for 3.5 years. We've had you at our disposal. Anytime we've had a question, we can come and talk to you. And you're telling us that in just a moment when you leave, it's actually going to be better? Yeah. It's going to be better. Because he's not going to just be with you anymore. He's going to be in you. He's going to be on you. And it's going to destroy the yoke. And it's going to remove the burden in your life. Will you stand with me? How many of you know that you can have $1 million in the bank and still starve to death? I said, you can have $1 million in the bank and still starve to death. And you can have this anointing available and never know it. You can have what Jesus said he's made available and never experience the best. If your life is not better for serving God, if you can't say that your life is better than if Jesus was sitting right here in person, we've got work to do in learning about this yoke, this anointing, and this person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Why are we fasting? Why are we taking this time? Because any time that you fast, it creates a void and it creates a hunger. You choose what you hunger for. Rather than looking to food and replacing the hunger with something that just goes in your mouth, replace that hunger with him. And as you replace that hunger with him, you will find that anointing increases, the freedom grows, and your relationship with him becomes more intimate than you could ever imagine. We've got one more week left. Let's press. Let's just have an amazing time with him. We saw the results of it this Sunday, of just a different atmosphere. How about next Sunday? Let's raise the roof. Let's tear it off. Let's have church. Amen. Are you ready? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of sharing and hearing the word. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're compelling us and drawing us closer to know you, to know your voice, to know your presence, to know your anointing. I thank you, Father, that we are free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So, Father, we're declaring that freedom of mind. Oh, yeah, yeah. Doctors have said it's clinical. Well, they got to put a name on it. But the source behind it is devilish. So in Jesus' name, we take authority over you, devil. And we thank you, Father, that depression, oppression, stress, and anxiety ceases and desists. And Father, we'll put our trust and our hope in you, in Jesus' wonderful name. And we all said, amen.
Well, that's it. We are so glad you joined us today, and we hope to see you again soon. If this message has been a blessing to you, would you consider giving to our ministry so we can continue the work we do? You can donate securely online at gvchurch.tv/give. As always, you can connect with us anytime through our social media sites or online at our website, gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.